Well, thank you for taking time to pray. My heart, I really do want to pray for world peace. I want to pray for the diffusement, if you will, of the tensions that we see mounting in Eastern Europe. There could be war on that continent. I hope not. I hope we don't see that. And I know nobody wants war, but Satan is a great divider. And we need to pray for peace. We need to pray for unity. We need to pray for reconciliation. And I know we have our personal needs too. If you have a special intention, a special need, feel free to join me. You can call in anytime, 888-914-9149. If you don't get through, you can put your intentions up on our Twitter account, at Drew Mariani Show. Maggie will incorporate them into the intentions a little bit later in the chaplet. And of course, you can write to me, drew@relevantradio.com. And please share your answered prayers to me. I'm grateful for everyone who has done that. I really am. I'm very, very grateful. I know a lot of people write, and I don't always have an opportunity to write back. I do see your intentions, and I do know how heavy some of these intentions are. Know that those prayers are all included right now. One of the intentions that came into me just recently was for a young mother in Texas. She's out of Cypress, Texas. She has four sons. She was in an accident, broke her legs. She's going to have surgery on her leg, and her husband works offshore. He can't be with her, so it's been a tremendous hardship on that family. I want to go ahead and pray for them. Another person wrote and said, "You pray for my sister's family. They lost their son, Harrison, 2 years ago today, and they're still suffering from it." Another person praying for work. He says he's responsible for an important part of the supply chain in his company, and there are tremendous labor shortages. He says seems the situation needs a miracle right now. I won't go into all the details of the email, but really we'll pray for that situation and all those who are having difficulty right now with jobs and employment and finances and health. I'm joined today by Beth Groshek, my colleague here at Relevant. And Beth, good to have you with me. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks, Drew.
Anything you want to pray for or lift up as we begin?
Just continued prayers for peace and for an intention on my heart.
All right. I want to pray for my producer, Maggie, too. I know she's got a special intention, and for my show team here. And I want to pray for all of you today, too. I pray for you every day. Sometimes I pray a lot deeper and a lot harder than other days. So pray for me, too, that I can maintain my level of intensity, because like you, you know, I'm on top of the mountain one day and sometimes I'm in a valley, and you know, it's tough. So I appreciate your prayers and I value them, and I'm grateful for it. So we'll pray today. I'll try to get a few extra intentions on. And of course, Maggie will be sharing some of your intentions today during the chaplet. So we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Jackie. She is praying with us in Cherrillville, Indiana. Hi, Jackie. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you. God bless you for answering my prayer. And I ask all of the Divine Mercy prayer warriors to please include a friend who was sent out to Turkey for a job, was robbed as soon as he got there, started the job. Literally, Satan has put a wrench in the whole works, and he's unable to come home. His finances, all his paperwork, everything was stolen, and his finances are at a hold. We need a miracle.
All right, we can do that.
We need a miracle.
Let's pray for it, Jackie. All right, we're going to pray for a miracle in the situation.
For finances, I need the finances too. I'm in such a financial distress right now.
I'm sorry to hear that. That's tough. It robs you of your hope, doesn't it? When you don't know how you're going to make those ends meet, and you don't see any other source of income. I want to tell you, Jackie, God's a God of providence. Okay, He's a God of surprises. I had an email, and I want to keep this man's information confidential. He's a friend of mine, and he has gone through the gates of hell, literally, for the past 2 years. And he has suffered incredibly hard financially. Every dollar that came in had to go out for legal fees, for other expenses. Didn't know how he was going to make it. And he has a job that when he went to submit his bill this month for his job, he expected it to be, it was a pretty decent job, $40,000 he was going to get paid for the volume of work he did. When they actually evaluated how much it was worth, they wrote him a check for $91,000. He says, I'm afraid to check my checkbook because I just don't believe it's true. I've never in my entire life ever had anything like that happen to me. But this man has been so faithful to God in the most difficult times where he's been mistreated and vilified, and he's been forced to spend money he should never have. He remained faithful to God. He put his trust in God. And God worked a miracle in this man's life, and he rewarded him in abundance. And Jackie, the same thing can happen to you. I've been in very difficult financial times in my life. I know what it's like. God has surprised me in ways that are just unbelievable. And I know he can do the same thing for you and for anyone right now that is going through that difficult financial time. Money's the least of God's problems. You know, our he showed you he can multiply, right? He multiplied food and loaves and fishes. He can sit loaves and fish. He could easily do the same thing for whatever your situation is. God finds unique ways of providing. So, Lord, on this decade, I pray for that. I pray for those who are facing intractable problems. They need miracles like the one Jackie raised. But I also pray for finances in this hour. Pray for those big financial miracles, those big blessings, those ways, the way out of those deep holes that people see no way out of. And I thank you for hearing this prayer, because I know you are. I know that there are going to be lots of miracles. And when God answers that prayer that you have right now, please let me know. Write to me. Say, Drew, I can't believe this. It's an answer to prayer. It's a miracle. Put miracle in the byline. But let's pray right now for it. Drew@relevantradio.com. That's the email to send me those answer prayers, because they're coming. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Mary is praying with us in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Mary.
Hi, can you hear me, Drew?
Crystal clear. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you so much for taking my call. I've listened to you for a long time, and this is my first time calling, and I thank you so much for all that you do, all that you do. My prayer is for, first of all, for my adult son, who is currently untreated ADHD, but he's had some very responsible jobs, and but right now he is jobless, homeless. He is living with my husband and I, which puts kind of a strain on our situation. I just am praying for his name is Jeff. I'm praying for Jeff's conversion back to God. He's obviously he was baptized, and but he's not been a practicing Catholic. And I just pray for God's will in his life, in my life, in my husband's lives. I thank you for all the prayers that will be said at this time.
Mary,
thank you.
First of all, I'm so glad you got through. I am, and you're part of our spiritual family. So not only am I praying for you, but countless souls right now are interceding for your son. And as a parent, I know how difficult that is. I mean, the pain is, our love runs so deep for our children. We only want the best for them. And when your son becomes an adult, it's often hard to get him the treatment that he needs. But let's pray for that miracle. As you were sharing that attention to me, I was just thinking of what Pope Francis had said not too long ago. He talked about how it's not easy to entrust oneself to God's mercy. He says, because it's an abyss beyond our comprehension. But we have to, he says. We have to. And the Lord told St. Faustina, he said, the greater the misery of the soul, the greater the right that it has to my mercy. The greater the right that it has. He says, I want to save all. I want to save all. On the cross, he says, the fountain of my mercy was opened wide by the lance. And I don't exclude anyone. So I want to take your son now. I want to immerse him in that precious blood that flowed from the side of our Lord. And I want to ask from this moment forward, Lord, that you begin to bring a transformation in this young man. I pray for all those who have similar situations. They have children who have AD. They have undiagnosed problems. They have depression. They have anxiety. They're homeless. They don't have jobs. They're addicted to drugs. Lord, and the parents feel so helpless. Fortify the parents. Send grace to those children. Bring healing in those areas that seem impossible. Open new doors. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And thank you for writing. I know a lot of intentions come in. We're going to lift all those to the Lord now. We may not be able to read them all in the air. Thank you for going to Twitter and following us at Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me at Drew Mariani as well. And Maggie, every day, goes over that, sees your needs and intentions, and she brings them to our prayer family here. And Maggie, who can we pray for today? What's up?
Robin wrote to us today saying, please include Danny O in the chaplet today. His kidney transplant is scheduled for today at 3 p.m., the hour of power. Please pray for him, his family, the donor's family, and all the medical staff involved. I just loved that. Really timely. Deborah wrote to us and she said, please pray for everyone in the path of this massive snow and ice storm. May all travelers stay safe. May all homeless find shelter. May all homes retain power and those without power have it returned quickly. And anyone who's working outside, please be kept warm and safe. Sean was asking prayers for her son Isaac, who's been dealing with a bad bout of depression, that the fog might lift and that he might find joy and abundance again. Christy is asking for prayers on this feast of St. Blaise. Please pray for Don Erdelt, a husband, a father, a grandfather. He needs healing from an inflammatory pneumonia and to be taken off intubation. And Barbara's asking for prayers for her daughter for safe delivery for her third child.
Wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's lift all those intentions up. Let's add Debbie, too. She's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, praying with us there. Debbie, good afternoon.
Hi. I'm praying for my niece, Amber, and once again, intercession of St. Blaise. She's had a nagging cough since November. She's between doctors. I think with insurance, she needs to find a new primary care. The cough was getting worse in January, went to urgent care 3 times, the last one being Monday. And she had additional symptoms, and it was to the point where this cough was hacking and so bad that she wasn't able to go into work, and she hasn't worked since.
Oh, no.
I found out from her mom that she's in the emergency care right now. I'm just praying for God's intervention, miraculous intervention, that they find the cause, she's able to return to work. She has other challenges in her life.
Yeah.
I'm praying for those, and also for Kathy, Jim, Brian, and Barbara, and the challenges that they're facing in their lives and for their loved ones.
Well, Debbie, thank you. Thanks for calling. We'll lift up Amber in particular, this critical moment for her, and all those intentions you voice. Well, Adams, everyone who's prayed, and we call upon St. Blaise today, such a powerful saint who's worked many, many miracles. And we ask him to join us along with St. Faustina and that whole communion of saints as we pray for these changes in health, these healings, these blessings that we're asking God for his mercy. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Richard is joining us from Minnesota. Richard, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for everything you and all the relevant radio people do.
It's
part of my life, and I very seldom miss the chaplet. And I'm praying for my dear wife, who is recovering from accident and COVID. And since she had COVID, her left eye, she can't see as that anymore because she's suffering from macular degeneration and cataracts, and she's suffering from abusive upbringing and body aches and pains, and I'd like to pray that she's come closer to church. Thank you.
Hey, Richard,
and then for my dear sister-in-law who is suffering from COPD, and she's on oxygen all day long.
Oh, boy. We'll pray for her, too. Richard, how long have you been married? How many years have you been with your wife?
57.
Oh, wow. Praise God. Well, I know you're one and how much you love her. And I'm sorry because I know you suffer seeing her suffer. I'm glad you got through, brother. I'm glad we're part of your day. And Lord, I bring Richard to you. And I bring especially his wife. And I just ask for the sake of Richard's heart and for his wife that you bring about healing and you give longevity and health to this beautiful couple. I pray for those with macular degeneration, those with problems with the cornea, those with loss of vision. I pray for those who are suffering from COVID. I pray for those who are just not feeling well today. I want to add my wife. She's a little bit under the weather today. I want to bring her to you. And we pray for those with COPD and pulmonary issues, anyone who has problems with their lungs right now, Lord. And you heard Richard's intentions. I unite them to all who now pour forth their prayers. And together we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Elgin, Illinois. Brian, good afternoon.
Yes, Drew. I'd like to pray for my brother-in-law, Tim, his wife, Nancy, his son, Sean, and Corey, and Kyle, and Amelin, and Brandon, and Bailey, and Kara. Mm-hmm. He's been in the hospital on and off since Christmas Eve, and they want to put him on a ventilator right now. Mm-hmm. And Nancy is calling us to go over there and talk to her about what the decisions would be for Tim on a ventilator. And he's been in the hospital for like a week and a half or 2 weeks now on oxygen, and very tough to get information back and forth, and we haven't been able to see him. Mm-hmm. Or she saw him like the last time he was in the hospital, because he tested negative for COVID. Right. And now he's testing positive, so no one can go in there and see him.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Which I think is terrible.
It's hard.
It's terrible.
Well, Brian, let's pray for him right now. We'll pray for your brother-in-law and for your sister. And we'll just ask God. I mean, let's put our trust in the Lord. Let's put our trust in the Lord. The Lord told Faustina, he says, you know, life on earth is a struggle. You know, but fear not. You're never alone. I'm always supporting you. And Lord invited us and invites us. He said to Faustina, lean on me as you struggle. Fear nothing. So, Lord, in these difficult times, it's hard not to fear or have anxiety or concern. But I just give you Brian and his family, and I place them within your merciful heart. And I really ask that the ventilator not be needed, that conditions of his health change, that the COVID be eradicated. Let me grab another call or two. I'm going to add this to Brian's intention. Dorothy is praying in Wisconsin. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi. Drew, you're up on the mountain more than you're on the valley. I can tell you that. You're a wonderful person.
Thank you.
Well, anyways, I'm asking for a conversion in the family, for my son-in-law to get a job. He's been without a work for a year and a half, and they have 6 children. And the main thing for my granddaughter, that the blinders will be removed from her eyes and heart. Mm-hmm. Concerning the guy that she's been with. She's 27 years old. They have a baby. He's a felon. He just got out of jail. She just can't see what she's doing with, I mean, and they have that beautiful baby, and I'm so afraid to let him be with him alone. But anyways, thank you for all your prayers and all your work.
You got it, Dorothy. Keep praying for that granddaughter of yours, okay, and for that relationship, and we'll pray for that baby. I do want to pray for those who have been incarcerated, those who are currently incarcerated. I pray both for their conversion. I pray for new beginnings for many of them as well. I do pray for those who are in dysfunctional relationships, abusive relationships, relationships that certainly need healing, where there is betrayal, infidelity, mistrust. Well, I just ask you, enter into those with your grace, with your mercy, and today bring healing. Adriana is praying with us in Los Angeles. Let's get her into the intention list as well. Hi, Adriana.
Hi, Drew. I'm just asking for prayers for my 5-year-old who's going to have bone graft surgery tomorrow.
Oh, gosh.
He has Down syndrome, so I worry a little bit more. And for everybody who has a child with Down syndrome, it might be double the trouble, but it's double the joy.
Oh, like my heart goes out to Adriana. I share this all the time. I remember my daughter had to go in and have her tonsils removed. That's such a common procedure. I was so nervous. I can't imagine what you're going through. So you've got my prayers. You have the prayers of your family here. And we'll pray for all parents who have children, you know, with challenges. And we'll pray for the surgery. And Lord, I just ask you to be the divine physician. And I give to you everyone who's on hold, and Ann and Tony and Susan, Dolores and Christina and Jackie and Mary and Dorothy. And Lord, there's so many people who are crying out to you now, united to me both on the phones and wherever they may be. Hear our prayers. Hear our prayers. We turn to you now with trust. We thank you for your mercy, and we pray, eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Blaise,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. I am praying for you. I'll be right back.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Today's programming is brought to you by St. Gregory Recovery Center in Iowa. More information about their faith-centered addiction treatment is available at relevantradio.com/stgregory.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
What a classic theme. There are certain themes that you hear, and there's something special about them. That's John Williams. That's the Olympic theme song you're listening to. I feel the same way when you hear, the NFL, the open for the NFL theme. It's just really, they stand out, very classic. Of course, Jaws is another one of those, right? But you can think of some certain compositions that are pretty amazing. Anyway, it's good to be with you. The Olympics, of course, start in Beijing, and you're going to see something, I think, of a confrontation between what is just a ruthlessly oppressive regime, and it is, and a lot of other countries that want to see, a great country like China change its ways. And wouldn't that be nice? I talk about praying for their conversion. I think it's important. The Olympics are such a great way for us to unite. The so-called diplomatic boycott, it's, going to be underway. I don't know how effective it's going to be honest with you. I'm glad some world leaders are staying away from the games, especially the opening ceremonies. That gets a lot of attention. They don't want to lend credibility to President Xi Jinping for his murderous, and authoritarian type of reign. I think everybody should have stayed away from it personally. The question is, will it do any good? Will these diplomatic boycotts, do they have any impact? If I was the president of the United States, I'll tell you one thing. I would not show up for games in a country that is committing genocide against an ethnic group that's oppressing those who oppose his government in any way at all. I just wouldn't do it. Now, I know this is our nation. Our athletes are going. A lot of people want to get behind them. But I, even as an athlete, that'd be a really hard call. So will it have any impact on what the president of China does, these diplomatic boycotts? I would probably say no. It doesn't mean leaders shouldn't stay away, but no one should be under any illusion that it's going to change the policies of Xi Jinping. I don't think that that's going to happen at all. But let's talk about it. I want to take a look at the Olympics today. Should we boycott or shouldn't we? You know, and should this be a place where nations can get together and there'll be a spirit of unity and competition? We can put politics and policy behind. Or is this a great opportunity to say to the world leader of China that's hosting the games, hey, what you're doing is wrong? I'm joined today by Weifeng Zhang. He is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. And his research includes everything from political economy to U.S.-China economic relations and China's economic issues and so much more. It's good to have him with us today. Thank you for your time. Delight to talk to you today, Mr. Zhang.
Thanks for having me, Drew, and glad to be here.
You know, this diplomatic boycott, I really want your take on it. It's a nice symbol. I would argue, it's a necessary one. I think more world leaders should say back, send that message to the world and to the leader. It won't really have any impact. There were calls for a full athletic boycott of the Olympics as well. And from what I understand, you don't think that that would have done anything either. Why not? Give me your take on the Olympics being held in China, what's happening in that nation, and whether or not we should even host the Olympics in a nation like that.
Drew, I think you summarized the issue very well at your opening statement, which I largely agree on. It's a nice gesture to make. It's a nice symbol. But I don't think it's anything more than symbolic gesture, and which is what brings us to my argument here, is that I don't think it's going to do anything beyond making a gesture. And to understand that, I think we need to take a step back and look at the issue. The gravity of the issue is the increasingly worse human rights conditions in China, and totally different from what people expected when China was entering the WTO, the World Trade Organization, in the year 2000-2001, when the world economy was welcoming China with open arms. And people largely back then were expected that when a large economy as big as China was integrated into the global economy, China would become more open. In fact, many people in China back then also expected that country to be more open. But so that totally didn't turn out the way that people expected. And so what we started to see in recent years is increasingly more and more persecution of minorities, especially the Uyghur minorities in the region of Xinjiang, and which is what brought us to today. Is that the United States and its allies thought that boycotting the Olympic Games would shame China, perhaps shame them into making a change. So the last part is what I don't agree, because no matter how you shame China on a global stage, the regular Chinese people, ordinary Chinese folks, they are not going to understand the human rights abuses in China because of the media control or information control. So we are not going to be shaming China into making meaningful changes that way.
No, I would agree with that. I mean, I read a recent article that you wrote, a column, and you make the case that there are more effective ways to impact China. Ultimately, that is through their bottom line. And I would agree with you because, okay, so certain world leaders don't show up. Okay, is it really going to make an impact? Probably not. What are you proposing? Money talks, as they often say. How can China be impacted economically? What do you propose?
Exactly. Money talks is exactly the reason and exactly where we should focus on. So at the policy level, late last year, President Biden signed into law a bill called Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act. And that act, basically, what it intends to do is to say that for any goods coming into the U.S. from the Uyghur region of Xinjiang, let's assume that it's made with forced labor. Hence, it's prevented from entering the U.S. market. Now, importers can prove that, wait a second, my goods are not really made with forced labor in Xinjiang. We can show documentation, so we're all good. So if you can prove that, then you can enter the U.S. market. Otherwise, the goods will be forbidden from entering the U.S. market.
Right.
And so that's the purpose of that policy, was to say that, you know, if you make keep producing goods with made with forced labor, you are going to, from the China side, you're going to lose the export revenues. So that's where it would hopefully hurt the Chinese regime and put meaningful pressure on it. So that's one of the examples. There are many other policy ideas. There are many issues surrounding even this proposed policy too. Because if you look at forced labor in China, a lot of you know, Uyghur minorities, forced laborers, they don't actually work in the Uyghur region of Xinjiang. They were sometimes transferred outside of the region, and then they ended up working in factories elsewhere in China. So those goods would not be put under this assumption of being made with forced labor.
Here's
and so it's complicated.
It is. And you know what frustrates me, and maybe you can help me better understand this, finding products that aren't made in China. I'm sitting in a studio here. I can look at everything from my mouse to my keyboard to the microphone to my computer to, I look around this room to the printer to just about everything is made in China. I mean, how do you convince people not to buy that $4 shirt at Walmart that's made in China instead of the $15 one that's made in U.S. or paying a little bit more for that hammer here versus the one that's made there? How do we deal with that? It seems that China has an economic grip, if you will, on the world.
Exactly. And that's precisely what we call the China challenge is for the United States and other, you know, open societies. It's that because of the 20 years of engagement with China, now that we see, for example, like you said, goods made with China everywhere. And it's very hard to distinguish what is made with forced labor versus what is not. And that's where the challenge for policymakers lies, because one way to guarantee that we don't have any forced labor made with forced labor goods from China is to say that we don't import anything from China, right? And that way, you're pretty much all good. But we can't really do that, because if we did that, it would hurt the economic freedom of the American people too. So how to balance that is exactly the hard part. I think nowadays technologies could perhaps potentially go a long way. So if there are, so in other sectors, there are technologies that track the origins of products step by step down the supply chain. And a lot of suppliers could actually volunteer the information too, if they are willing to audit the supply chains that they use themselves. And so with better information, consumers can make a more informed choice.
Right.
But it's difficult, but this is where I think it comes down to. Is I don't think there's any single simple action to take that would say, okay, after this, we'll be all good with not having forced labor made product.
Right.
I don't think it's that easy.
No. I agree. Hypothetically, and I don't know how this would play out, but if people were to stop buying Chinese products, we were to stop importing certain products, how quickly would we see a response to it? You know, how long would it take? You know, is it even possible, I guess?
That's a very good question, and that's one that if you look back to the history of China's, you know, the process of reforms and opening up since the end of the Mao era, there are not many good episodes where we can point our fingers at and say, see, that's how we can make China change. But one rare one would be right after the Tiananmen Square massacre in 1989, because back then, right after the tragedy and the murders of the students, international communities put a lot of pressure on China. So for a few years, in terms of the Chinese economy, it was quite difficult. And it was it would take from 1989, where the tragedy happened, to 1992, that's when the Chinese leadership in Beijing made the decision to say that we should open up further, we should try to become a more open society. Of course, that's because before China joined the WTO. But that's one incident where even there, with such a tragedy and a lot of pressures from other countries, it took several years to actually see some meaningful change.
Well, I want to thank you for your time. I do, and for your insight and analysis. We'll see how all this plays out. It's a story that's continuing to unravel and to be told. My thanks to you, Weifeng, and you can check him out, of course, at the Mercatus Center there at George Mason University. Keep up your good work. I look forward to reading more. Appreciate your clarity. That's Weifeng Zhang. Take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue to take a look. Stay with me. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Live, coast to coast. A look at life you'll never get anywhere else. The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, tell others about it. If you enjoy the perspective you get here, we're on every day at the same time. I hope you'll join me. I hope you will check out our podcasts online at relevantradio.com, where podcasts are heard. And, of course, you can stream us anywhere in the world using the mobile app. You know, if you're just joining me, we're talking about boycotting the Olympics. And how effective is it? You know, while the diplomatic boycott is not going to affect China, it's not going to hurt it at all. And an athletic boycott, let's say we didn't send our people there, if that had happened, it probably wouldn't have done anything either. What about people just tuning out the games altogether, right? Well, bioethicist Wesley Smith, he wrote a recent National Review column that I read, and he stated in his very opening paragraph that, I'll just quote it. He says, not only does the world cravenly look the other way as Chinese Communist Party commits systematic human rights atrocities of a kind that we have not seen for nearly 100 years, but it also abjectly honors the country by allowing the Winter Olympics to be hosted in Beijing. Ow! Snap, right? There's a lot of truth in those words. I've invited him today to join us to talk about this. And you can join me too anytime. The number here is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And Wesley, of course, is a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute and an attorney, a consultant. And he blogs on National Reviews on online's The Corner. You can check them out there. Author of a lot of good books. Before I go to Wesley, though, Maggie, you and I were talking a little bit about Nancy Pelosi and what she told our athletes, right? Do you have that audio? Why don't we share that?
Yeah, I do. It's from just earlier today. I just thought it was very interesting audio. She's warning our athletes to not talk out about what they see in China. So I just wanted to make sure that you guys heard this.
I would say to our athletes, you're there to compete. Do not risk incurring the anger of the Chinese government because they are ruthless. I know there is a temptation on the part of some to speak out while they are there. I respect that, but I also worry about what the Chinese government might do to their reputations, to their families. I would say.
Well, all right. So the audio got clipped there right at the end there. But I mean, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, well aware of the ruthlessness of China and issuing that particular warning. Let me do this before I go to our next guest. I want your take. If you want to join me, it's 888-914-9149. Are you going to watch the Olympics? Should we boycott the Olympics? Should we economically boycott them? Should we have sent our athletes? Now, I'd love to see American representation, right? And I think about these athletes who work so hard and so long, and this is the pinnacle of everything that they have trained and sacrificed for. And not to be able to compete is a tough thing, but I mean, this is an authoritarian regime. It is an evil regime in a lot of respects. And you see the genocide and the concentration camps and what they're doing to the Uyghur people. In fact, let me bring Wesley in because he's been writing about this. He says clearly that, you know, not just the U.S., but the world is looking the other way as this Communist Party, the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, commits systematic human rights atrocities unlike anything we've seen for 100 years. Wesley, thanks for your time. It's good to talk with you today. Maggie, I'm not hearing Wesley. Wesley, you're with us?
I'm here. We've had a little bit of technical issues, but we're here.
I hear you perfectly. Now, thank you for your time and for enduring.
I think it's Chairman Xi.
Yes, you're probably right. He's tinkering with our technology here. He doesn't want this message out. I love it. Hey, I love what you had to say. Powerful, powerful words in that National Review column that you wrote. I shared the your opening paragraph just a few moments ago. You're calling for people to just not watch these games at all. But my question to you is, will that have any impact on anyone other than maybe NBC's ratings and on the athletes themselves? Give me your take on what's happening here. I know we only have a few minutes to talk today.
Sure. First, I heard your previous guest, and you know, when you guys were talking about don't buy Chinese goods and so forth, that's very difficult today because we've become so dependent on China. But we can send a strong message to China and to the world that this kind of human rights evil, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about mass incarceration, organ harvesting, rape of women, the Uyghur women, forced abortion, forced sterilization, literal slavery. And if we just treat China like this is a regular game and that they're a respectable nation, then we are really making a mockery of the term never again, because this is not quite reaching those levels, but it's getting there. And one of the things that China does care a lot about is respect and face. And if there is a mass shunning of the Communist Party, that'll do a few things. Number one, it'll at least have us, it's not hard not to watch the games. At least if we do that small, simple thing, we can send a message that we do not accept this as a status quo circumstance. It will also tell our leaders, people like President Biden, people in the Senate and the Congress, that we care about this issue. I mean, when President Biden says, well, I'm doing a diplomatic boycott, which means I'm not sending Kamala Harris, but then Jen Psaki, his press secretary today, said, of course he's going to watch the Olympics. That means he doesn't care. Right. That's what that means. He doesn't care. He's going to watch the Olympics. So are we all. We may even come in, she said, with Olympic gear. That is such a mockery of the misery and the oppression that is occurring there. And if NBC gets terrible ratings, it will upset Xi, but mainly I think it'll give backbone to our leaders and let them know, you know what, we do care about human rights in this country.
Let's take a quick phone call for you. Out of Salt Lake City, Utah, Audon is calling. He wants to join the conversation. Audon, hi, you're on the air with Wesley Smith.
Thank you, Wesley. I was a member, and myself and my wife were members of the U.S. National Karate Team that were to compete in Moscow when the U.S. boycotted there. Mm. And I feel that even now this is a higher priority because of the atrocities that have been happening. And I feel for the danger for our athletes, because when we went with Bud Jack and Coach Chuck Merriman at the time, we felt very endangered to go. And when they boycotted it, that's kind of where we ended up. But that's my opinion at this point.
Well, thanks.
You know, that's interesting, because the boycott of Moscow was because the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan. Right. And then Jimmy Carter called the boycott. Athletes have been told to not bring their cell phones, but to use burner phones, because their cell phones will be hacked. There have been worries that their DNA will be obtained, and they will. And China, by the way, is collecting DNA from all over the world from medical tests we send there. I mean, this is how I really think, Drew. If we do not have the stomach and the self-discipline to say, you know what, I like skiing, I like skating, but I'm just not going to turn on the television, then we are showing ourselves to be decadent and primarily interested in our own entertainment. Those Uyghur people who are suffering, the Falun Gong who having their organs harvested, Tibet, which is suffering cultural genocide, Taiwan, which is under tremendous threat, Hong Kong, which has been suppressed, the stealing of intellectual property, the COVID cover-up, everything that China has engaged in, if none of that matters to us, then why don't we just say, well, as long as we're happy and we can have amusement, then that's all that matters to us, and then we'll know who we are.
You got it. Well, I want to thank you for the call. That's a great point, Wesley. I have less than a minute to go. I want people to read your article too, Wesley. What's the best way to connect to what you're writing about right now?
That article in particular is on National Review. It's in the corner, which is their blog, and it's very easy to access. It's not behind a paywall. Also, if people want to read my other articles and listen to my podcast, humanize.today. By the way, I interviewed Nina Shea about the religious persecution in China.
Yep.
It's on my podcast, and she just laid it out.
She's awesome. Love her. Love you too, Wesley. You're both great. Thank you for being here.
Thank you,
Wesley
Drew.
Smith. Stay with me when I return. We'll pick it up and talk about that U.S. military strike.